You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we are. All right, let me jump into my comments to open the show today. So, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing my monologue, I'm making a point. But today I'm just pointing something out. And I got to start by saying, when I was a freshman in high school, I had a teacher named Mr. Warren for Algebra 1. And like a lot of my running buddies, I hated algebra. Hated it with a passion. Any excuse to slow the roll of Mr. Warren from moving on to the next formulaic lesson was worth trying, but, you know, nothing worked better than just asking him about the future of computers. You see, Mr. Warren, he doubled as the computer science teacher, and we had an old-school science lab filled with these teletype-style keyboards, dot matrix printers, and these giant refrigerator-sized mainframes that had tapes that ran on reels back and forth as they spit out the most basic of computations. All it took for us to get Mr. Warren off track in algebra class was for one of us knuckleheads just to ask him if he really thought computers were the way of the future. We literally would take turns. It's your turn, dude. You ask him. Hey, Mr. Warren, so you really think? Yep. And then next thing you know, at that point, he would launch excitedly into all the ways that computers were going to change our daily lives. And more than once, we knuckleheads would take turns, like I said, asking the same questions. And at that point, when we did, it was at least 20 minutes of class time that was consumed by the musings of Mr. Warren, the computer evangelist. But if I could see him today, I'd have to tell him he's right. And I would have to also confess that I've actually used algebra in the real world. But yes, anyone with a smartphone, an iPad, a desktop would have to agree that computers have changed our lives. They have certainly changed how we get our information. Well, here I am in my 50s now, sometimes feeling younger than my age, but most times not. But at times, I'm also very cognizant of the massive changes just in my lifetime, especially in the way that we get our news and our information. I mean, right now there's an entire generation growing up that does not even have a frame of reference for why anyone would even have a landline phone in their house, especially one with a 12-foot cord hanging on the wall in the kitchen. Remember those? I can even remember when my granny had a party line phone that she shared with the neighbors, and she got all the major news of the day from the other ladies in the neighborhood who called to fill her in while she sat in the wooden chair at the edge of the kitchen talking on her rotary phone. And if you're a child of the 80s like me, then you likely remember the amazing days of MTV, when MTV actually specialized in music videos. I mean, the world of music was stood on its ear as every artist realized they had to make a video of their next release and get them to the VJs instead of the DJs. But if you were anything like me, you were also likely late to class or your job at the burger joint on multiple occasions because you had to watch just one more music video before you got out the door. But back to Mr. Warren and the computer era. The personal computer market blew up. Everybody had to have the Apple Macintosh or the Commodore 64. Things like the blue screen of death became the dreaded symbol of malfunction. And then Al Gore invented the internet, and once again the information age was rocketed forward with new and blinding speed. Blinking cursors, Control-Alt-Delete, login passwords for AOL, and suddenly that infamous dial-up set of tones that sounded like an extended sound effect from a cheesy Star Trek episode. And right then, you were gathering information from around the world on the World Wide Web. And at that moment, those in the print media who weren't paying attention began their long decline to irrelevancy. Well, I say all that because there's an article that I read this morning in National Review that started all of this poignant remembrance. As of this past Sunday, I was surprised to find that the regular weekly print edition of Parade magazine is no more. Since 1941, Parade magazine has been that extra insert in the Sunday edition of newspapers that have been landing on people's front porches nationwide. More than 700 papers, with a total circulation of around 32 million, included a folded copy of the Parade magazine in their Sunday press back when Parade was at its height. But by January of this year, that number had been cut in half. And as the folks at National Review said it, and they said it quite well, they said this, quote, "In its prime, Parade magazine was a weekly showcase for small slices of American life. The cover story usually featured a well-known, beloved celebrity with a new mass appeal project to promote. Turn the page, be greeted by Walter Scott's personality parade, answering the entertainment-themed gossip questions submitted by readers. The prestigious annual Parade High School All-American Teams honored the best prep athletes in various sports. Things like Ask Maryland gave us brain twisters and logic puzzles. What America Eats suggested recipes and drink concoctions for your next gathering with friends, and throughout the year, Parade was there to suggest gift ideas and interesting ways to celebrate the holidays with your family. Social-themed issues appeared annually like clockwork. Things like What People Earn was edited and polled dozens and dozens of Americans and reported their annual salaries for various jobs around the country. And the giving issue, usually focused around Thanksgiving, helped to promote philanthropic gifts throughout the end of the year. You see, here's the deal. This is me talking again. Parade magazine, that's how we used to find out about culture. It's how we used to find out what Americans were thinking. It literally came kind of inserted into the Sunday morning paper. But it just couldn't compete with the age of the internet. The internet, in which random thoughts of innocuous and unknown people clicking out their thoughts on anything and everything can hit your smartphone in real time. Earlier this year, it actually kind of caught up with Parade. Print times were getting longer as commercial print services were less available. In January of 2022, this year, Parade issued one of its magazines, actually featuring Betty White on the cover, actress Betty White, and wishing her a happy 100th birthday, but Betty White had actually just passed away days ahead of her century mark, just as the latest edition was being sent out, and they had no way to reel it back in. So it was an embarrassment, and there was no way to do the usual quick online editing that we see on most online news sources. And the reality set in that Parade magazine may have reached its height and already declined too far. Parade will now be available online. It's the end of an era. But let me ask you this. Are we better off now that information flows at the speed of thought? Is it better for our society that we get our news and views and thoughts on culture in real time from whoever's online at the moment? Is the information more trustworthy when the newsroom is in someone's basement? Maybe it's old-fashioned, but I, for one, miss the Sunday paper, even though I haven't actually picked up one in years, and I'm reminded that how we get our information is sometimes just as important as where and from whom. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah, I mean, Parade magazine, man, I just remember the Sunday paper came, and my dad or my granddad or whoever had the paper, I would go straight for the funnies, the sports, and Parade magazine. And it always had the interesting stuff, the kind that I wanted to read, the kind that just reached across all lines, all demographics, all ages. And yet today, if someone thinks it in the basement of their house, sitting in their underwear, typing away on a keyboard, you can see it in real time. And things like Parade magazine have kind of fallen by the wayside. It's a new era. Got to pay attention to where we get the news, though. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I got some calls on the line, so let me grab that real quick. Line one, I think, was first. So that's Brian. Yeah, Brian. Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing mighty fine. And based on the first part of your what you were discussing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I just got interrupted by the plumber. So I'm going to hang up and let somebody else on.
Thanks, Brian. All right, take care, bud. That's his life, man. That was life taking over right there. Who's on line two? Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope his plumbing problem gets
better. I hope so, too. You know, it's all that turkey food, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, those are problems that need immediate attention. So
They do.
What I wanted to point out, and I love that you brought this up about the speed of news, is that when you, how quickly we get our news, I wanted to highlight two things. One is, have you read stories? I don't go a day without reading stories that have mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean a plethora of just incorrect grammar, incorrect spelling, just completely leaving out words to where you can tell how quickly they wrote the story. They're not reading anymore, it seems, in some of these websites. It's all about speed. Who can put out a story with the most speed and accuracy? I mean, what are you giving up? Accuracy? You're giving up perspective. You're giving up correct details. But not just that. When you, it's all about narrative nowadays.
Yeah.
And if you look at something like the Nick Sandman story, CNN crucified a kid, I might add. And why? Because they wanted to be the first to get that story out there and to make the story fit the narrative they wanted. And that's when you have a problem, is when you are both going for speed and agenda. And they all do nowadays, it seems. And people become the sacrifice.
No, you're totally right. I mean, and we saw it again this week, and this one was less of an agenda, but more of a desperation to get the scoop. All the stuff about who was going to be the next coach at Auburn, it was sure to be Lane Kiffin. Sources say. And next thing you know, Lane Kiffin had already signed a contract. It's going to be announced. Well, he just signed a contract with Ole Miss. So how'd that work out for you? And but they were desperate to get the scoop, and they were slamming it out there on their online forums before they had a chance to even see what was what.
Well, they should have known better, because he has Nick Saban's agent who uses that tactic. That's his playbook right there to get him more money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It was leverage. It was sure leverage.
Yes, for sure.
Well, so, yeah, Lee, I appreciate it. And you're right. And by the way, do you remember Parade Magazine? Was that one of the things you, like, grabbed when it came in on Sunday mornings?
Yes, it was very nostalgic. When you were talking about that, I was just remembering it. It was the first thing I pulled out of the paper when my parents, they had of course, they had paper delivery. Everybody did that I knew, and my grandparents. And actually, it's funny, my mom still does, but I haven't had a paper delivered in years and years.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was the first thing I pulled out. It was what I enjoyed the most.
Yep. It's end of an era. But, hey, Lee, thanks for the call. Appreciate you, as always. And if Brian gets through with his plumbing, maybe he can give a call back. That'd be fine. had several texts. JT from Lacey Springs said yes on Parade magazine. Said the classic one picture cartoon, the Maryland Savant, where they would ask these deep thought questions and you have to reason them out. Yeah, I remember all those. John from Huntsville is wanting to talk Alabama football with you, Boomer, not with me. So he's on the text line. Paul from Athens points out, with regards to one aspect of my monologue, he says, our smartphones have more computer technology than the Apollo mission. Let that sink in. It's true. And then Juan from Newmarket says, it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And Brian from Huntsville did text in and say, go Big Orange, but congrats to Wolverine Dan. So there you go. It was a weekend full of football, and folks are still working. And John is still texting here right now. John from Huntsville. He goes, Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I enjoyed a delicious rib roast from John. We always talk food, don't we? But yes, absolutely. You know, it was a quiet one this time. We just had my daughter and new son-in-law came down and had dinner with us. And I swear, though, I think Charlene cooked as much as she would have if we had had, you know, 8 to 12 people show up. But anyway, good times nonetheless. Hey, by the way, we're going to take a break here in a second, but I'm gonna tell you, we just completed a big-time interview that I'm pretty excited about that we'll be airing later this week, did we not?
Oh, we did. It's going to be awesome.
I'll announce it when we get back.
I'm excited.
Yeah, when we get back from the break, I'll tell folks who it was, but we're gonna start promoting it tomorrow and getting the word out to sort of drive people to the show. We will air it on, what do you think, Wednesday, Thursday?
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll firm that up and let you know.
It up.
Yeah. However Boomer feels is what we'll do.
However quickly I can get this thing edited.
And by the way, I got hosed, Boomer. So
oh, no.
On the podcast. So I was tracking to my 100,000 downloads by the end of the month, and then I forgot we had the holidays.
Oh, right.
And so I think I had a 2-day slowdown.
Yeah, so what Phil is saying, everyone, is go listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
put it up there.
Please, go download the podcast. Because otherwise, I'm the one doing push-ups and he's eating donuts. But anyway.
It's all good. It's going to happen.
It's all good. All right, coming back with a major announcement and first part of the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.